ladies and gentlemen, the truths that you heard here yesterday can only be found in the Apostle Paul's letters. The man who used to be Saul, the Pharisee, who went around killing Christians, became God's chosen instrument for a message of transcendent grace. Why him? Because he was the worst sinner on the face of the earth. Paul himself called himself the chief of the sinners. So God chose this one to give message of grace to, because he became the demonstration of the very grace that he would preach. And you're only going to find a message of transcendent grace and transcendent glory, celestial glory, in Paul's 13 letters. This is why I promote them, because I dig this message. And if this message is for you, then you're digging it too. Somebody wrote me and said, Martin, I heard what you were talking about, this glory of judging people at the great white throne. I just want to crawl into a corner and hide. All right, then it's not for you. You know, there are different positions in the body of Christ. There's membership in the body of Christ, and there's also ruling and reigning in the body of Christ. These are two different things. Maybe some of you are not destined to rule and reign in the body of Christ. It's called an allotment. An allotment. It's above and beyond salvation. An allotment is a portion. You remember the land in Israel was allotted. They cast lots. They literally threw stones down, and they pulled stones out of a bag. Maybe they threw dice too. One time they picked straws, I think, right? Short straw. And so it was supposedly by chance, but of course nothing's by chance. God did the choosing. He just used this means for entertainment purposes, perhaps. But an allotment in Israel was a piece of land that was yours. It was yours. So in the body of Christ, there are those who are going to be in charge of things. Sectors, districts, I don't know. But there's going to be those who rule and reign, just like in the kingdom on earth. Peter and the 12 are going to sit on 12 thrones. Do you think that's the only place of power in Jerusalem? No, it ain't bad, but there's 144,000. So they're distinguished. And then there are other many people are going to be raised from the dead. They're going to be in the kingdom and part of the kingdom, and they're going to enjoy the fruit of the kingdom, and they're going to be immortals, but it doesn't mean that they're sitting on 12 thrones. It doesn't mean they're the 144,000. Thus also the body of Christ. Paul makes this plain in 1 Corinthians 15. He says there's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, there's glory of the stars, and even star varies from star in glory. Thus also is the resurrection from the dead, says Paul. So, there's a blue star, giant star, dwarf star, red star, all kinds of different stars. So we're going to be stars. Take that any way you want. Today we have movie stars. That's just a little hint. I'm glad there are movie stars, because it gives us a picture of what we're going to be. Except we're the rightful owners of stardom, and we are going to, it's going to be God's glory given to us. We're going to have glory, though. Don't go around saying, I don't want glory. No, you do want glory. Get real. Come on. Don't be all this humbly on me. Don't be this fake, humble person like, being glorified is going to be great. And when you get it, you're going to be glad for it. We're all going to be glorified. That's our common lot. We're all going to be glorified. Who he chooses beforehand, those who he designates beforehand, these he calls. Those he calls, these he glorifies also. So you're going to be glorified. So just quit kicking against the goad there, okay? You're going to be glorified. I don't know the measure of your glory. You're going to be filled full with the Spirit. If you feel like cowering in a corner, that means you really don't want that much glory anyway. So that's okay. But, you know, it could be that, I don't know if this could be. I was going to say could be that what your disposition is isn't what you're going to get. It's like, okay, there's somebody that just doesn't want it. And in life, they hide. And in life, they just want to stay in their room and in the dark, whatever. And they don't. I've heard many people say, I just want to empty the trash baskets in heaven. I'm glad. So maybe what your disposition is, that's what God will give you. Maybe he's put that in you. See, it's not like your disposition. And then God's going, yeah, that guy just wants to empty trash. I was going to put him in charge of sector 62, but the guy just wants to empty trash, so all right, I'll give him a trash job. Too bad I had sector 62 all carved out for him. No, I don't. It's not that way. It's the fact that if you're destined to be empty the trash in the body of Christ, which is great, great, then maybe that's what God gives you. He gives you that desire, and then He fulfills your desire. I've heard many other people say, "I'm just happy to be the big toe or the toenail on the body of Christ." Or I've had people say even grosser things to me. They want to be the toe jam on the body of Christ. Hey, that's a great vision, man. If that's what you're after, maybe that's what you'll be. Great, you'll fulfill your role. But if that's not you, then don't dish me this false humility. You can still be humble. Like Paul was a very humble guy, and yet he said, "God has reserved for me a wreath of righteousness." Wow. Because he was laboring, he was suffering, and he knew that there was a wreath of righteousness. How bold. That's not exactly toe jam. All right? This is above and beyond salvation. A wreath is what was awarded to victors in the games. And Paul attended the Isthmian games. That's hard to say, Isthmian, the Isthmus of Corinth. Isthmus. How the hell do you put STH together? Sith. I don't know, but there was a forerunner of the Olympics, I guess, and Paul always used sporting analogies. And he said that Christ was going to pay him a wreath. It can't be salvation because you don't pay salvation to anybody. Anyway, I want what God has for me. Yeah, and the fact that I'm doing this, the fact that I'm striving, yeah, sure, I'm speaking for myself now. That's all I got. The fact that I talk to myself about this, now I'm talking out loud to you. The fact that I'm doing this, the fact that I'm striving, not in the flesh, but according to what God gives me to do, and I want to do more, and I'm pushing it, and I'm a defender of the faith, that tells me that I'm really competing. I'm a competitor. I am a competitor. And so God put that in me, so it makes me think that I am running for a race. I am running a race. Paul talks about this in Philippians. Running a race. And it's above and beyond salvation. So if it's in you, don't deny it. Just go for it. Go for it. We're running a race. Doesn't mean you don't believe in grace. Doesn't mean you don't know that God's doing this through you. Of course He is. Of course you know. So just keep knowing it. I should read the passage. I'm torn here. I was going to start Revelation chapter 18 today, and I'm looking at my time. I'm halfway through the show right now, so if I do the second half of the show on Revelation 18, then what do I title this show? Half of it was on ruling and reigning, coming into the calling in the body of Christ, which has nothing to do with the unveiling of Jesus Christ, really. Although, what prompted me toward this? Of course, it was the Great White Throne, which we haven't gotten to yet, two chapters away. I can't wait to get there. I love the Great White Throne. Love it. Love it. Because I'm going to see all the dead. I just can't wait. Those who are unbelievers, right? All through history, they're all going to rise at the Great White Throne. Can't wait for that. It's great. And it's white. And it's a throne. I can't wait for it. Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be part. I'm going to be calling some shots there. So you better be nice to me here. You better be nice to me. Don't worry, I'm gonna be gracious. Don't worry, don't worry. I'm gonna be one. I'm one of the good guys. So instead of jumping into chapter 18 now, it seems so incongruous with what I'm talking about now, and then I won't know what to title the show. Do I call it the destruction of Babylon or ruling and reigning with Christ? That'd be an awkward choice for me. I wouldn't know what to do. I might call it ruling and reigning in Babylon. I might confuse the two. Don't want to do that. So let's just go to Philippians and talk about this high calling. I told you how it stunned me when I saw in Hebrews those obtaining a better resurrection. Couldn't believe that. A better resurrection? I thought resurrection was generic. You're just raised from the dead. Oh no, there are better resurrections. How do you get a better resurrection? Oh, you get persecuted, you get sawn in two. You dress in sackcloth, you're hated by all people, stuff like that. Or you get your head chopped off for the sake of the truth, or you get beaten, you get burned at the stake, crucified upside down, stuff like that. I don't want to be crucified upside down, I really don't. I'm not lining up for that one. But if I get snuffed out for the sake of the truth, I'll be happy about that. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. But don't crucify me upside down, please. Let's see. Oh, this is great. Well, Paul's listing his accomplishments as a Pharisee in Philippians 3. Yeah, if you're watching the laundry cam, the reason I'm keeping my headset on, I usually take it off, but because I'm having a terrible hair day. Look at that. Ah, it's really not so, yeah, it is. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, and I'm just going to get the whole context here. No, I'm not, because I see where my time is. Paul has forfeited everything. Everything that was gained to him, his Pharisaic background, his Pharisaic accomplishments. He was great. He was a Pharisee, a Benjamite, Hebrew of Hebrews, zealous as to the law, persecuting the ecclesia like nobody's business. He was the best at killing Christians. Oh, don't put anybody up against Saul of Tarsus. He come after you. He come after your fool ass. And he's going to get you, and he did. And he's on, when he's doing that, that's when Christ calls him. Anyway, verse 8, but to be sure, I am deeming all to be a forfeit because of the superiority of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. See, he's talking about knowledge here. And I told you before that this is one of the hallmarks of Paul's gospel. I think I wrote about it in my newsletter, the ZWTF, is knowledge, realization of the truth. It's mental. It does translate into good behavior, but it starts with an apprehension. He forfeited all, because of whom I forfeited all. Not everybody forfeits all for this message. It doesn't mean you're not in the body of Christ. It just means you haven't forfeited all. Some people have given up much and suffered greatly. Peter, that was his argument, I think, to Jesus. Was it Peter that said, we sacrificed everything. Come on, we left. We've left families. We left jobs. We're suffering the ridicule of the people. What's going to be in it for us? Jesus, instead of poo-pooing that, he gave him the answer. Well, you're going to sit on one of 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's not like he dismantled the question or made fun of it. How dare you think? That was a different thing when, who was it, Andrew and somebody were arguing who's going to be at his right hand. They're bickering about who's going to be first in the kingdom. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. Jesus did, like, shoot him down for that. It's not my place to give right or left hands. If you really want to know, if you want to be first, you have to become last. Start washing feet. Start being humble. Start serving people other than yourself. Then you'll be great in the kingdom. This is a different thing when there's a legitimate question as to reward for suffering. And God acknowledges this aspect of humanity, that we work, we get rewarded. Not salvation, because that's not based on work. So I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about more. So Paul forfeited everything, and he's going to be repaid for it. He did it so that he should be gaining Christ and may be found in him, not having my righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is from God for faith to know him and the power of his resurrection. And here it is, verse 10. Philippians 3, the fellowship of his sufferings. Not everybody in the body of Christ comes into the fellowship of his sufferings. Some people just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to live it, but they know it. It's saving faith. They have saving knowledge of Christ, but they bury it, right? So, okay, you're not suffering. That's okay. I've read to you before, 2 Timothy 2, to suffer with him is to reign with him. To not suffer with him is to not reign with him. You're still part of his body because he can't deny himself. If you deny him, no problem. Once you have that saving faith, you can deny him then and just run away like Demas, like some of these other people did in 2 Timothy, and you're still in the body of Christ. But you are forfeiting something else. Ruling and reigning. So, Paul goes on here, not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness from God for faith, to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, conforming to his death, if somehow I should be attaining to the resurrection that is out from among the dead. If somehow, what do you mean somehow? You're guaranteed resurrection, but Paul's talking about a better resurrection here. I do believe, not that I already obtained or I'm already perfected, yet I'm pursuing. What are you pursuing if grace is free and salvation is free? I'm pursuing, if I may be grasping also, that for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus. And what was that? The high calling, ruling and reigning. He's grasping, striving, straining, racing. It ain't salvation. It's something more. Forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out towards that which is in front, toward the goal am I pursuing, for the prize of God's calling above. The prize of God's calling above. It's above and beyond salvation, because salvation's not a prize, is it? No. Okay. Toward the prize, toward the goal, am I pursuing, for the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. So you don't have to be disposed to this. But with maturity, I think, comes this. That's Paul's suggestion here. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. What's this? What he just talked about. Straining for a prize. And if anything, you are differently disposed. If you don't want it, God also shall reveal that to you. Yeah. God will reveal that to you. You're supposed to be the toe jam. God's going to reveal that to you, and that's going to be your goal. Moreover, in what we outstrip others, there is to be a mutual disposition to be observing the elements by the same rule. It's a very awkward way, a very Paul way, of saying that if we outstrip others, that is, if we outperform others, if we seem to be more zealous, if we are more zealous and more outgoing and we're running a race, we're still to be mutually disposed to those who aren't. And because God has revealed to them that they're not supposed to be that way. So don't feel guilty if you're not out there with a blog or YouTube channel, or you're not, passing out my books on the street. Don't feel bad about it. It's just not in you. And those who are pursuing are not to be thinking that they're all mighty great or anything, but they're to be mutually disposed to the entire body, because the entire body is united. We are united no matter what we do individually. Some more than others, some nothing. That's fine. God will reveal this to you. But we are mutually disposed toward one another because we are vitally united, no matter what we do, by the ties, the bond of peace made by Christ himself.